Now, Oxford University is going to investigate the use of ivermectin as a COVID-19 treatment. This drug has been controversial. I'm sure you've heard its name before. It's historically been used as a treatment for parasites, you know, head lice and things like that. But then it was former President Donald Trump who said he thought it was useful in the treatment of COVID-19. And like many things Trump said, it was instantly jumped on and became taboo. So is Oxford University, which is a prestigious institution, right to reinvestigate ivermectin? Emeritus Professor Robert Clancy is an immunologist at the University of Newcastle. He's got decades of experience in this sort of stuff, and he's been good enough to come on and share his take on the subject. Thanks for doing that, Robert, and good afternoon.
Well, good afternoon, Paul. Nice to be here.
Now, before we get on to ivermectin, how do health experts balance the need to be transparent with the public about medical information at the same time as making sure that people follow the recommended health guidelines and procedures?
Well, that's a very good question, and I wish I knew the answer. I wish we all knew the answer. I think the most important thing is to be honest and transparent and put all the issues up and argue and discuss them. And unfortunately, with ivermectin, that has not been the case, not just in Australia, but throughout the Western world. Other parts of the world use ivermectin as though it was sugarcane, and we're on the brink of doing that.
So tell us about ivermectin. Why has it turned up on the radar all of a sudden, and why was it considered, you know, obviously got onto the radar of Donald Trump, among others, as being a potential treatment?
Well, the crazy thing about this, Paul, is that ivermectin's been around for a number of years. It was an extraordinary breakthrough, one of the greatest breakthroughs in medicine. Its inventors got the Nobel Prize for it. It's a very, very interesting drug. It affects the way in which a cell puts together particles. It also has specific effects, certainly against some of the parasites that where it got its name. Ivermectin, as a agent that's useful in treating COVID-19, which it is, was actually an Australian invention from Monash University. And people forget that it was actually scientists in Monash that first showed that the treatment of cell cultures that were containing the COVID-19 virus could be, you could get a marked reduction in the production of virus from those cells. And in fact, some Australians were very early in coming up with different strategies for using COVID. And as you say, it sort of had a very bad timing. It came up when the hydroxychloroquine story came up.
Yep.
Again, a very interesting drug, but that got totally desecrated by politics. And unfortunately, Mr. Trump saying it was a highly effective drug, which it is, but unfortunately the wrong person said it.
Yeah. Now, ivermectin, as I understand it, just addresses the symptoms, doesn't it? It makes the appearance and the impact of the virus less volatile.
No, but
that's
the whole purpose. The whole purpose. And basically that's what vaccines do too. What the ivermectin does is it prevents the virus load reaching a critical stage where it can go on and cause devastating effects on the body. So it's all about reducing the amount of virus that's produced and reducing the rate at which that virus is produced.
We know that science has been rather serendipitous on occasions, you know, just experimenting with existing medications to combat emerging ailments. You know, the fact that we use, you know, aspirin to thin blood, for example, is a classic, that drugs have been transmuted into other possible applications. Are there many drugs like ivermectin that have been overlooked? And I just wonder why that might be. Is it because the big pharmaceuticals make more money out of innovation than they do out of prolonging the life of drugs? Is that a possible explanation?
Well, to just explain, the big pharmaceutical companies are not innovating. What they do is they buy innovation out of universities and institutes. But having said that, it's a very interesting question, Paul, because these drugs and colchicine, for example, which many of the listeners would know, is the key treatment for gout. Ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine. These drugs come from plant sources or biological sources, and they've been around for a long, long time. Some of them have been used in a whole range of things. If you look at ivermectin, it's been used against parasites. Just today, I was reading that it's now being used against some autoimmune inflammatory conditions, and it's all about these drugs acting on the insides of a cell so that the cell doesn't, if you like, process these particles like viruses, autoantigens, things like that. Now, the interesting thing about ivermectin that's given it a real kick along is that recently it's been shown to actually also inhibit the docking of the spike protein. If you can imagine, the virus looks like one of those terrible underwater mines with spikes coming out. Mm-hmm. Well, those spikes are what binds to the cells in the airways. And ivermectin actually blocks that binding of the spike to the receptor, as well as disrupting the process of making virus. So it's an extraordinary drug. Every time you look at this drug, it has surprises.
But so it's an old drug, and it'll be cheap, won't it?
Well, it's totally cheap, and that is part of the problem. An outrageous statement was made by Merck, the pharma company that produced for the Japanese inventors this drug, saying, oh, look, it has no effect in COVID. The next day, they got a $300 million grant from the United States government to produce early treatment for COVID. I mean, the cynicism that's involved and the politics involved in this is very sad, because people die as a result of not having this treatment being available. Now, that's crystal clear. The data is very clear.
Okay, so what is this? We've only got a minute to the news, but what is this Oxford University study going to unveil, do you think? What illumination will it provide?
It's incredibly important, because here you've got a highly reputable, world-leading centre saying, look, we've looked at this data. We know it's pretty good. We're going to do a really big study. We've got the money to do it. And we're going to put this in the market, because it will make a huge difference in terms of its acceptability.
Robert, is it your view that ultimately it'll be part of the treatment regime?
Oh, I think it's on the edge of being the treatment regime in Western countries now. It's been, if you look at India, for example, the areas using it have had dramatic drops in mortality. Same in South America, Mexico, all around the world. We've just been, I don't know, we won't get into the politics of it, but I think the message is getting across that people can no longer deny the value of ivermectin.
Robert, nice to talk to you again. Thank you.
Yeah, lovely talking to you, Paul.
Emeritus Professor Robert Clancy, immunologist at the University of Newcastle.